You got your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter number 1. If you're online, share this. If you're online and you want an outline, now I thought that Josh sent those folks that's online right now that wanted an outline. He sent you an outline, so I hope you got it. If you didn't, be sure to put your email address on there. Make sure there's no problem with it. Revelation chapter number 1, and let's go down to verse 9. We went through verses 1 through 8, and I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go back. I'm going to just go forward. Now, before I go very far, I'm going to give you the key verse of the whole book of Revelation in just a moment. I'm going to start out with it, and if I don't finish the lesson and I only get to that part of it, if you don't get the key verse, the theme verse of Revelation, which is the key to interpreting the whole book, am I right? You got to have a key to interpret the whole book. Now, a lot of the reformers stayed away from the book of Revelation. Luther, that crowd, they stayed away. Luther said Christ wasn't even found in it. Now, when I read what I do tonight, will you tell me if Christ is found in it? So let's read this verse, these verses, and when you hear Christ found in it, will you say, amen? But before I go in, I knew I wanted to tell you something. We had a good time. This is the second time I spoke tonight. I was in TNT tonight. I kept my promise to the kids, and I got them a donut wall. How many TNT parents are in here? I am not accountable to how your kids act and if they don't go to bed tonight. Because they ate a bunch of donuts. I bought 7 dozen, and Krispy Kreme gave us 5 more. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you say, why you been doing these little things in the TNT and our high school program? Well, they bring visitors. They bring their friends. And somebody brought a friend tonight. And I don't mean to not get all the way in my lesson, but I need to share this. I don't know. I asked the kids this question. How many of you have ever heard the story Naaman told? How many has heard Naaman before in the Bible? Do you know not one child in that room knew? And I started praying. I said, well, I'm not sure if we got to make sure our literature is telling the stories of the Bible. So I told him the story of Naaman and this young man, Carlson Campbell, who was a visitor of one of the TNT tonight, got saved. Amen. And thank God. And by the way, I went over the story and over it, and when I got done, I had 3 or 4 of them tell the story. I bet they can tell it now. And by the way, our kids need to know the Bible and the stories of the Bible. They're so important. They're so apical. And that right there just burdened me tonight, and I thought I'd just plug that a second. All right. Revelation 1 and 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, that's good there. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha. And Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which were in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned. Let's see if Luther's right here. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. In other words, that voice was, it touched him. And I saw the seven candlesticks. And I'll explain to you in a moment what that is. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto who? The Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt with a paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Kate, you just mentioned that a moment ago. And his countenance was as shining, was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me. Woo! That's shouting ground. God ever touches you, it makes a difference. Saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, I don't know who this is. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Wow. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things. Now this, write down this little note here, verse 19. I'll get to this again in a moment. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. The myth, and he starts explaining this. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. Amen. Now, I never have seen the face of Christ. I always wondered, you know, we hear people, well, he's a long-haired Jesus, or he was this, and I don't know what he looked like in his earthly ministry, Chad. I do think he did have a beard because he plucked it out. I do know this, some of the Renaissance paintings painting him and conceiving him as a blonde European, I don't get that. Because he was despised and rejected of men. His face was hid. By the way, his vestige, he was beaten. But I want you to know something. I never seen him on this earth. But in this second question, how many of you like to know what he looks like now? Amen. Though I haven't seen him before, I do know what he looks like now. Amen. And what the pictures of what he looks like now is all about. Hallelujah. Because I don't know why Luther would make the statement, Chad, he couldn't find Christ. Because there's a vision of Christ in Revelation 1, 9 through 20, Revelation 5, 1 through 14, and Revelation 19, 11 through 21, when he comes back and we come back with him. Hey, and his vesture's dipped in blood, and he has a sword that proceeds out of his mouth, which is the word of God. Thank God.
Amen.
Now, I see my time. If I don't get all the outline, I'll just start over next week. But I'm going to give you that. I want to give you this key verse. I'm gonna move on down into some of my other thoughts, because I want you to look at this key verse. I don't ordinarily go all the way down in my notes and try to start at the back and come to the beginning, but I'm going to do it tonight. Because I want to teach you something. How many of y'all do me a favor? Would you? How many would memorize, if you would, Revelation 1:19? Make a note that I'm going to memorize Revelation 1:19. Now, there's in Revelation 1:19, and 20. And I won't cover this next week. I'll cover it now. He's a communicating God. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. Now, what was the things, God, thou hast seen? How many know, class? They just saw Christ. Right? Write the things which thou hast seen. Now, that's chapter 1. Then he said, what's the rest of the verse, class? All right, let me ask the class this. Is it all right to do this on Wednesday night? I wish I'd probably pass the mic out. What's the things of which are? What's that? Seven churches. Now, since we went that far, the seven churches are the seven golden candlesticks. Now, you might say, well, then who's the seven angels? There's a couple interpretations of that. But I'm going to give you the two prominent one and the one I'm almost certain it is. There's a prominent one that it could be the guardian angel of the church. I don't believe it, but that's... Or, and a lot of people don't like this because they don't want to ever call their pastor an angel, but the pastor of the church. So, have you learned anything?
Amen.
The seven stars are the angels of the churches. Or those churches, how many of y'all believe they had pastors? Now, so you write the things which thou hast seen, chapter 1. Look at me. You write the things which are, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I'm just showing y'all. The reason I'm doing this, and let me slow down again. This is just Bible study. I hope you're getting something. I'm going to give y'all meat on this Wednesday night. Now, you said, I can't hardly take it. Just chew it up anyway. If you need to be like me, chew it up 3 or 4 times, just chew it up 3 or 4 times. There's a lot of different beliefs. The Petrius belief, that they all of the revelations, and Chad, you and I have talked about this, that all of the events of Revelation, some people believe that they've already been fulfilled. Now, if you studied Romans 1:19, you realize that's not true. That's why I'm telling you that's the theme verse, the most important verse, because see, ladies and gentlemen, they have not been fulfilled. Now, these Calvinists today, you see you're on Calvinists all the time. I'm going to stay on them. They're rotten. They're rotten. If they're not heretics, they're near it. If you see what they're doing in the Southern Baptist Convention, you see what they're doing in some independent churches, getting little gullible young men and jerking them around, and they use their new little theological words. And ladies and gentlemen, they go back to the Reform time, and they follow the Reformers, and the Reformers had no clue. I'm not against everything the Reformers taught, Chad. You know I'm not, but they weren't right on prophecy. Then there's another view, the historicist view, which is postmillennialism, and that believes that Christ will return at the end of the millennial kingdom. Then there's another one called the idealist. That's the amillennialist. I might as well tell you who they are. How many of you like to know some of the denominations who are amillennialists? I might get in trouble. Church of God, Anderson, Nazarene. Boy, it's quiet in here. You said you shouldn't be so pointed. Well, some of these guys, Martin Luther and Wycliffe and the Reformers, the only ones except some of the Anabaptists weren't post-millennialists, and the idealist was the amillennialist. Y'all with me? Amen. But I am what, Chad, here's what I am. How many of y'all want to hear what I am? I am a futurist. I am a pre-tribulation rapturist and a pre-millennialist. Now, I've went over that, but how many of you in this room still don't understand those terms? Raise your hand. Anybody? Well, you're all in the same, well, good. All right. Write the things, let's go over this class. Write the things which thou hast seen. What chapter is that? Write the things which are. How many churches were they? What's seven the picture of? Completion or perfection. Now, can I ask you a question? This is a good question to ask. I'm going to ask two. Chad, I'm going to pin you down, okay? I want you to. You know the answer to this. There was more than seven churches in Asia Minor, wasn't there? There were several. Why did God pick them? Go ahead.
Because they represent the church down through the ages of the church age.
And God knew.
Yeah.
Not only these churches were local churches, but God knew that they would represent the church age down through the ages. And we'll see that as I study all this. Are y'all getting that back there? Everybody with me? I'm not too far in the weeds. Please tell me that. I'm trying not to be. Now, I want you to look at a key verse that if you, I believe right now, here's where we are. Look at me. I think we're living between an overlap between the Philadelphia church and the Laodicean church. That is the open door church that's still getting people saved. There's not many. The church of the open door. Taze Valley Baptist is the church, is a church of the open door. And excuse me. And then there's a Laodicean church, which is lukewarm. That's neither hot nor cold. They have a lot of orthodoxy, a lot of little junk here and a little junk here to pretty themselves up. And they think they're in need of nothing. There's churches all this. Hey, there's churches around here a whole lot richer than we are, got more money than we are. Hey, might be even more influential in the community. As far as reaching the political world and the community. But I'm not really interested in reaching the political world. I'm sick of politics. And I think we ought to be reaching people of Christ. There's something bigger than that. Am I preaching? Now, I'm sorry. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. Talking about the Philadelphia church. Now, I told you I was a pre-trib rapturist. We went over all the different trib, different types. And you, by the way, I'm going to say this to you. You can't study, if you study the Bible literally, you can't be nothing but what I am. A pre-trib rapturist. Here's what he said about the Philadelphia church. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them which what? Dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What are you saying there is, hey, that Philadelphia church, you stay faithful, and I'll tell you what I'm going to keep you from. You're not going to go through that tribulation period. Somebody say amen. Amen. The hour of temptation. Now, y'all still with me? Now, go to Revelation 4:1. This is just a Bible study. I didn't know I was going to quite go at it this direction, but I'm already in over my head now. Write the things which thou hast seen. What are they? The glorified Christ. And the things which are. What is the church? The church. And the things which shall be what? Wow. Now, look at Revelation 4:1. Now, this is where I might have to get a bag of air in my lungs. I'm going to preach a little bit right now. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, where there was as it of a trumpet talking with me, which said, what? Come up hither, and I will show thee things which what? How many's getting the outline now? Chapter 1, you got a vision of Christ. Chapter 2 and 3, the churches are mentioned 7 times. Now, I want you to do me a favor. How many, I don't know if you'll do that, but I'm going to challenge you to do this. How many of y'all read the book of Revelation this week? How many try to read that? It ain't going to be hard on y'all. Come on now. You go read it. I'm going to give you a quiz. Anybody that can find the church between chapter 6 and chapter 19, at the end of chapter 18, you come and tell me and I'll buy you a dinner. I'll buy you dinner. I mean, there's people who says the church is going through the tribulation period. Show me where the church is mentioned. Because here's what the Bible said. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the what? Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if you go on into Revelation, that statement's only mentioned one more time. And here's what it says. Here's how it's mentioned. He that hath an ear, let him hear. How many's with me? You say, why are you going through this methodically? Because I want y'all to all look at this book as a book of the future. This book has not been fulfilled yet. This book is nothing more than Daniel opened up. Daniel was sealed to the last day, and Revelation is revealed. It's promised to everyone that opens and reads this book. God's going to unveil his son to you. Whew. Well, glory. And immediately I saw, and I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon him looked like a jasper and a sardine stone. That's what we're going to see when we get to heaven. Woo! And there was a rainbow around about the throne. I'm glad God's got mercy. In sight like an emerald, and around about the throne were 24 seats. Now, here's the key. Now, who in the world's the 24 seats, Lois? I think I know. Let's read about them. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in what? And they, what did they have on their heads? What did they have, Chad? Crowns. Well, let me ask a class question. Where'd they get the right raiment, and where'd they get the crowns? And who in the world are they? Say it. It's the church. I'm going to be methodical. Is that okay, Lance? You like methodical? I know you do, Lance. They were going to load your wagon last week, and I didn't get to hear it. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 19. Chad, I'm not getting to my original my outline tonight. I'm not trying to.
Verse that you have mentioned from the beginning.
Revelation 1:19. That's the theme verse. Okay. Let me go over it again, Dan. I'm glad you asked. Don't find. Let me go over it one more time. I want to stay with me. Write the things which thou hast seen. If you're going to interpret this book, if you interpret it that it's already been fulfilled, then you have a lot of problems. Write the things which are seen. And he told me what was seen, the glorified Christ. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, right? And then the things which are, and he just told which the things are the seven churches of Asia. And then I showed you in Revelation 4:1, and said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet, talking with me, said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be. See the outline? How many see the outline? Jeff, go ahead and get this right. You got to have the outline right. You got to get it right. That's why you got amillennialists, postmillennialists. You know, if I'm gonna sit and say I'm not gonna read the book of Revelation, I can't be a pre-tribulationist. I can't believe in a premillennial king, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I read it line upon line and precept upon precept, I can't help but do that. But let me show you one more thing, and I think I was going over there. Let me go there one more time. Turn over to Revelation 19:7 one more time. Now, Zach, remind me, I'm slow, and Danny said he's slow, I'm real slow. Remind me something. Now, who was it that had the crowns? And what else did they have?
White raiment.
White what?
White raiment.
Okay. Now, here's what I believe. When we get rewarded at the Bema, you said, well, I'm scared to death of the Bema. I'll just soon go there. And I ain't scared of the Bema like I would be the white raiment. I'll tell you that. We're going to be rewarded there. Amen. And I believe this. Now, this is Preacher Smith speaking. That we're going to get our white garment right at the rapture when we're presented a chaste virgin and we marry the Lamb. And you said we were going to marry the Lamb right after we're judged and we get our crowns. But let me show you, make sure you understand now. Two more things, and I'm going to conclude. My goodness, I couldn't believe this. This clock's going fast on me tonight. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Verse 7 of chapter 19, you there? For the marriage of the Lamb is what? The marriage of the Lamb is what? And his wife hath made herself ready. Now, who's his wife? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the what? Whew. Wow. Let's read a few more things. Turn to Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and I could have showed you another white horse, but I didn't tonight. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Listen. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon what? Clothed in what? White and clean. Let's go over it one more time. Yeah, let's make sure we get it right. And I'm done. It's 8:14. Good night. I wanted to give you the key verse. Now, how many of y'all make an effort to memorize that? Just make an effort. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring some candy next week and give y'all something sweet. Every one of them memorize the verse. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. And the things which are. That's chapter 2. The church is taken out in chapter 3. Chapter 2 and 3 is the church. Chapter 4, the church is taken out, and that's the things which shall be hereafter. And then it taught the hereafter, and next week I'll show you, is that, of course, we won't get into all that. The tribulation period is the hereafter, and the church won't go through the tribulation period. All right, let me ask you a question. How many learn at least one thing tonight? Thank God. Did I do all right, huh? There's a lot going on in my brain. I had donuts on my brain and naming on my brain and everything else. All right, bow your head with me. The main question is, really, if His coming so near. Are you ready? How many raise your hand and say, preacher, I know for sure I'm ready. Raise your hand high. Raise them high if you know it. Thank you. How many in the room said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I need to be saved. I need Christ. Stand with me. I wonder how many of you, you know, you're saved, but you're not where you ought to be. Maybe you ought to get a little closer. Next week, we'll just go over this chapter one and just verse by verse, and then we'll tie into what where we ended tonight, But I hope you got something. Our Father, right now, just touch, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.